Welcome to a brand new edition of the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel, being joined by Andy Van Sistine, Assistant Director of Academic Services. Andy, thanks for your time. Always exciting. A brand new school year upon us here in 2025-26. But before we talk academics, let's get to know you a little bit. And where did you grow up, and did you play any sports growing up?
Thanks for having me, Matt. And no, actually, I didn't play any sports growing up. I grew up just outside of Green Bay in enemy territory. I went to a little high school called Pulaski. And way back in the day when I first started, Cody Wickman on the men's basketball team, it was fun to be able to connect with him because we had some of the same teachers in high school. So that's where I grew up. And no, I'm what the student athletes refer to as a NARPA, non-athletic regular person. And I own that. But I think it's kind of fun because then I can bring that perspective of what it's like not to be an athlete and some of the things that maybe they don't think about through that lens. And then they help me understand what it is like to be a student athlete and some of the pressures and situations that they face. So I think that not having that background really helps me to excel in the role that I have.
Well, I can't wait. We'll talk about it as we go along, but now I'm intrigued as to how you got in athletics, not being in athletics, you know, originally. But what did you do then as far as, you know, maybe extracurricular activities? What was your route?
Sure. It was a mixed bag of stuff. I played piano for 12 years. I played saxophone for 8 years. I was involved in a lot of academic things. Academics were my jam, and so it's no accident that, you know, this is my line of work. And then just talking about like where I went to, I think, you know, I even though I didn't do anything athletically, I always loved sports. Growing up in the Green Bay area, I couldn't wait for the next Packer game. I felt like I knew everybody on the roster for the Green Bay Packers every year from top to bottom, even the backup guys. So I've just always loved sports. But growing up in that country environment, and I had three brothers and sisters, it just wasn't a good opportunity really for me to be involved in sports. I live 9 miles from school, and had other brothers and sisters who had other needs too, and so it just didn't work out that way. But I don't regret it one bit. I found my niche later on in life.
So 9 miles from the school.
Yeah.
Was there a bus?
There was a bus. That was a long bus ride.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
My first job was at the high school, working for the town newspaper, actually, out of the high school. And so I'd bike back and forth 9 miles each way, 18 miles each day during the summer to put copy together, to write stories. So yeah, it was pretty far.
Well, you said it too, being up in Pulaski, a Packer fan. Mm-hmm. You almost have to be, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And like I said, that's where my overlap with sports really comes, is my passion for the Green Bay Packers. And when I was looking for a career in sports, it really actually started there. I thought to myself, you know, I was going to a job that, as much as I enjoyed it and found it fulfilling, I knew it wasn't my long-term job. I stopped and thought about, well, what would be my dream job? And I thought, you know, as long as I can make a paycheck with a big G in the corner, I don't care if I am scrubbing urinals or washing jock straps. I just need to be going to 1265 Lombardi every day. That clearly didn't happen. And I am loving where I'm at professionally. But, you know, that is part of it.
Well, with that being said, I know what the degree says, but heading into college, do you have a thought of what the ideal job would be, what you wanted to study?
That's a great question. And honestly, I had an answer to that. I thought that I was going to do law. And I ended up going to school at Madison, at UW-Madison. And they don't have there's no pre-law degree. You could do poli-sci, you could do communications. But I was pretty adept with math. And I thought, well, if I do actuarial science, that might be a good lead into business law. Because Matt, really, school is my jam. Like, I've just always been good at school. I was one of the valedictorians in my graduating class. And I've always been good at school. And it took a year of being at Madison, doing actuarial science, telling everybody I'm going to be pre-law, where I just stopped and smelled the roses for a minute and thought, I don't think I really want to be doing that. Like, I'm just good at school and I'm just taking these challenges and I'm not sure that I'm enjoying it. And so it was kind of a crisis of mind after my first year of being in college. And this is where I resonate with students who don't really know what they want to do with life, is because I had that moment. And I ended up settling on, I had a math teacher who was really impactful during my high school career. And he said, you know, every one of you in this room, in this calculus class, would be a great math teacher. And I thought, you know what, Mr. Birkin, rest his soul, he was a wonderful teacher. He's right. Like, I think I could be a great math teacher. And that's what I ended up getting my degree in from Madison, was mathematics education.
You know, I have to apologize to you, you know, from a school standpoint, school is not my jam. And so when I ask you some of these upcoming questions, it may be elementary because I don't understand what some of these degrees are. But as you mentioned, okay, you earned a bachelor's of science and mathematics education degree. That I can figure out. But you went to Wisconsin. Let's start there. Why Wisconsin?
If I'm being honest, coming out of high school, I really wanted to go to Marquette. But at the age of 18, I was really cognizant of where I was at and that I was going to be paying for my own education. And I did the math on it. And if I was going to do pre-law at the time at Marquette versus doing a degree in the law program at a public school, I was going to come up with significantly less debt going to the public school. So why Madison? I felt like school was my jam and that was the place to go. I really only applied to Marquette, and Madison. I may have applied here too, but I just felt like this is Madison was where I needed to be. And that's what made the most sense to me was staying home, and going to the flagship school in our state.
How was your college experience?
It was fantastic. Like, when I did end up teaching high school after college, I love to tell people, like, that is a transformative time in everyone's life. That's where I met my wife. I had a great experience. The basketball teams were great. I went to a lot of hockey and football, and it was just a really great time. Yeah.
What was key for you when you look at your academic success? What was key for you?
My academic success in college or high school or all together?
All together. I mean, is there a formula for your success?
I really think that I had a fantastic upbringing and, my folks didn't go to college, but I really felt like well supported. I look back on my childhood and nobody made a big deal out of it, but you know, being out in the middle of the country, we didn't even get to the library often, but we were never short on books. And we'd bring those scholastic book orders mm-hmm. home, the little tissue paper,
yep.
scholastic book orders. And, you know, my parents wouldn't necessarily, buy us, Pop-Tarts at the grocery store per se, but they were never hesitant to get us those books. And I really value those kinds of things. And the other just discipline type things at home of like having chores and having to, being out in the country, just take care. I would mow the lawn and my folks would give me a little allowance for that. I think there were just some self-discipline things about where I was, what I grew up, having three brothers and sisters. There was just kind of a nose to the grindstone mentality. And that just trickled into the schoolwork.
Well, you mentioned it. You used that success to eventually teach 4 years of algebra and geometry at Brown County High School in Nashville, Indiana.
Yeah, Brown County, but not Brown County where Green Bay is.
No.
Yeah, which is when we finished college, the girl who I was with at the time and is now my wife and has been for almost 15 years now, she had an opportunity to continue her studies. So she went from graduating at Madison to working on a PhD in astronomy at Indiana University. And I knew this girl was the one at the time, even though that I wasn't ready to buy a ring. But I just drew a circle around Bloomington, Indiana, and looked for every middle school and high school in that circle and just cold emailed everybody. And I don't think that's the way they draw it up these days. I think you're supposed to do it differently, but it worked. I'll never say enough nice things about Matt Stark, who was the principal at Brown County High School. He replied to this cold email from some random dude two states away. We had a really great conversation. He ushered me in to see the superintendent later that day. And by the end of, meeting this guy for the first time and the superintendent, they offered me a job. So it was really fortuitous because there weren't a ton of other opportunities, but I really enjoyed being in Nashville, Indiana, and some of the students and other teachers that I worked with. To this day, I remember names and appreciate the experience I had there.
How would you describe Nashville, Indiana?
Small. And I would, I would liken it maybe to some of the towns that are up in Door County that are, they're very rural, and there's a lot of beautiful scenery around. Brown County State Park is just, it's a destination for people to enjoy being outdoors. But Nashville, Indiana is like one of those little, like, you know, Sister Bay, Egg Harbor type towns that are built around the natural beauty that's around it. But it's also very small. Brown County High School is the only high school in the county. It's very rural. And so, you know, kind of similar to my upbringing, a lot of those kids had to take long bus rides from gravel roads just to get to high school. So it felt a little bit like home, honestly, and it was a neat place to be for 4 years.
We could probably spend another 20 minutes talking about just your experiences teaching high school for 4 years, but you eventually went on to Purdue and earned a Master's of Science and Education degree with a focus on mathematics curriculum and instruction. So why did you decide to leave the classroom as a teacher and go that route?
Yeah, I think after a couple of years of being a teacher, I had another one of those pivotal moments like I did in that first year of college, where it's like, I really enjoy teaching. I love the students I work with, great people that I'm around. But at the end of the day, I'm missing that part that I'm really passionate about. I love sports. I wasn't an athlete, but, you know, it comes back to, that's where I had that epiphany of like, boy, if I had to, you know, to scrub urinals in Lambeau, that's what I would do to get to a sports environment. And so I really took some time to think about, if I'm going to make a career transition, my wife will finish her program at Indiana at some point, and we're going to get up and move. And what do I need to do to be in sports? So I spent some time really doing some homework, and that's when I understood that this is the cross section of what I'm really excel at, my jam, school, and sports, where I want to be. So I did some cold emailing and contacting people, folks that I tried reaching out to some folks at Indiana, and at the time I didn't get a lot of feedback. I'm grateful to Katie, who does the same work over at Marquette. She replied to an email and gave me some good food for thought. And the one person that I'd be remiss not to name is Sonia Hopkins at Butler. This lady did not know who I was. I could have been some thug out to rob her. And she invited me into her office and really helped me to understand this field. And it was really pivotal. And I thanked her when LaValle Jordan made his way from Milwaukee to Butler. And there was that connection. And I said, Sonia, I sent her a card and I just wanted to let her know. But, you know, I did some learning that way. And then I understood, too, that I needed to have a graduate assistant position. So after 4 years of being at Brown County, I saw a graduate assistantship open up at Purdue, which was 2 hours from where we were living. But my wife is an amazing person, and she was supportive of me taking that graduate assistantship role. And we moved up to Lafayette, Indiana. She finished her program remotely and did a lot of driving so that I could spend 2 years at Purdue getting my feet wet with the Boilermakers. And it's kind of, that's how I got into this role.
So combining your jam, athletics, you got the opportunity to work, tutoring program, advising student athletes, in particular football, women's tennis. I'm guessing at that point you realize, light bulb going off, this is what I'm meant to do.
This is it. Yep. And I feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of people who would go into those graduate assistantship roles were younger than I am. You know, I think that you look at an athletic department, especially a Big Ten university like that, and a lot of people who do fill those graduate assistantship roles, I think, are fresh out of college. I'd been out of college for a couple minutes at that point. So to be in this role as a married person who gave up a healthy four-figure, you know, retirement sum to chase this dream, there were some long nights working football study hall for the Boilermakers. I worked with some really good people who helped keep my chin up. But I think at the end of every day, I was like, yeah, this is it.
You came to Milwaukee as an academic advisor for the athletic department in August of 2015. What, for you, made Milwaukee the ideal position?
Once again, it was following my wife. She finished her program, and she needed a place to go. And so she had been, as an astronomer, she was looking all over the world. And so she was applying to stuff. And, you know, we are home people. We're both from Wisconsin. We like the idea of being close to our family. And she saw a research position that was open in the physics department here. And it wasn't a perfect fit, but she's like, you know, should I apply for that? Maybe I could go for it. So she did. And then she ended up getting it. And I think that it was hard to turn down the opportunity for her to come home, essentially. She's from Waterford, which is 45 minutes from here. So she took that. So once again, I just drew a big old circle around Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I said, how can I keep doing this line of work? So I thought Green Bay wasn't crazy, but not ideal. Madison, Marquette, I even looked at some of those Chicago schools like Northwestern and Loyola and UIC. And I'm really grateful for the fact that the guy in my office prior to me was Griff Watson, and he was from Purdue too. And he gave me a call one day and said, you know, we got a spot and you might want to take it. So I did. I'm not sure that there were other positions. And if I'm being honest, I think that I had my eye after being at around Purdue in Indiana and Wisconsin. I think it was appealing to look at like Northwestern in Wisconsin, but it was comfortable knowing Griff had been at Purdue, and I gave this a shot. And I'm telling you, Matt, I don't really have any interest in leaving. It's a really amazing place.
Well, that's the next question I was going to ask you was, when you took this job, at least initially, was the thought, I'll start here and see if I like it? Or was it one of those, I hope this is something that can last a long time?
I think that initially when I took it, you know, I thought maybe this would be a stepping stone. But I think that, you know, having all that life experience and already making a career change, you have a different perspective. And I had a really good work-life balance here. I think that the coaches respect that work-life balance. I think that, you know, having that experience at Purdue and having student-athlete friends who were at Wisconsin, you know, I had a dear friend who was on the volleyball team. I had a roommate who was on the football team and spent some time with the Ravens. You know, it was just really interesting to be here and get the respect of like, we know you have a family. And I think that was really helpful, and made me see things in a different way. And so over time, this just felt more and more comfortable. Like I could look over the fence and I could see some green grass, but I think that when I looked down under my own feet, that grass was green and healthy, and why bother jumping the fence?
Well, it's been 11 years. Let's get down to the nitty gritty of, okay, you were promoted to Assistant Director of Academic Services here in the Athletic Department in February of 2021. Let's begin with what that title, that job entails.
I think that what I do from a day-to-day standpoint just starts with the students. I am here to help make sure that their academic experience is the best that it can be. You know, anytime I'm meeting with a recruit to come to this school, I don't start with what you want to major in, what does your history look like. I want you to tell me what your dream job is, because that was important to me, and that was clearly a part of our conversation here, Matt. Tell them what would you be excited to earn paychecks doing every day. Let's start there, and then when I know what that is, or they don't know what that is, I just want them to understand what is important to them, and we work backwards from there to talk about the academic programs that'll fit. And then once we know that baseline that we start with, you know, having been here for 10 years, I really think that this campus is full of super helpful people, and I'm going to connect our students with the people that will help them. I've got, you know, 10 years worth of knowledge about how students have done this in the past and what can they do to be successful. And I set them on that path and I give them tips and I just try to impart anything that can be helpful for them. I also just want them to feel comfortable. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm sitting here with you and there's 60 people in this department and I know the names of every single one of them. You know, it's a family feeling. And I want them to feel like they've joined a family. Recently, I've had this revelation that, you know, I don't mean to demean the bigger conferences, but I really feel like the bigger conferences position themselves as a platform for stars to stand on. And I really feel that the Horizon League institutions are not so much a platform for stars to stand on. They're the home and the family for these student athletes, because it is different. It is different here.
And when we say academic services, what type of services are available to student athletes?
Sure. I think the services we provide is, you know, we help them to pick out what majors and careers they want to do. We guide them to the people who are going to get them to those careers and to those majors. We help them pick out classes. We really make sure that we're a safety net. I think one of the biggest components to the success of the teams that I've worked with is just sitting down and meeting one-on-one on a regular basis. Baseball is one of the ones that I work with among other sports. And really, you know, they had a 3.3 GPA as a team this past spring during the season when they made a championship run. They're gone more than they're here. and they had a 3.3 GPA. And really what that comes down to is I'm going to meet with the guys who have the hardest time with school, and I'm going to ask them to show me their grades. And then there's just an element of honesty. If you show me what your grades are, if you see a 72%, some people are going to form opinions right then and there that that's good, or maybe that that's not good. But it starts an honest conversation, and I help them find what they need to remedy problems then. You know, I think that I have all the resources and connections to help students get the help they need.
Do student athletes come to you, or do you go to them, or is it a combination? Like, if you find out, hey, this student athlete is struggling in this class, that class, do you reach out to them, or do you wait for them to come to you and you know, remedy the situation?
I think there's a lot of proactive things that start. It's a combination of both. But if you're new to Milwaukee, I'm going to have a special eye underneath you. I don't care if you were a 4.0 in high school or your previous school. This is a new place, and you're going to be adapting to this new place. So I'm going to start by, if you're new, we're going to have regular touch points. And after meeting with you every other week for a semester, you're blowing it out of the water, great. That's what we want you to be. We want you to be a high-functioning, high-achieving adult. And so I don't meet with them that often. But it's those, if we start like that and meet with them frequently, and then we're not meeting frequently because they showed their success, they feel really comfortable coming to me with a rogue problem. So it starts by being proactive and providing that safety net. And anybody who's new here, whether you're a freshman or a transfer, just establishing this is what we're going to do to make sure you're okay. It helps them come back on their own if they experience it sooner rather than later. And we circumvent a lot of problems.
Well, you talk about freshmen, you talk about newcomers, and you were mentioning earlier the travel. And some of the sports you cover, men's basketball, women's basketball, volleyball, baseball, extensive travel across all four of those sports. Do you see, not just to pick on freshmen and newcomers, but being that they're new maybe in some instances to the collegiate landscape, do they struggle at all maybe at first getting acclimated to juggling academics and all the travel that maybe they're not accustomed to at the prep level?
They can. I think that they can, but I feel like that's, again, where the proactiveness about my position and the job that my colleagues Claire and Gabby do, we try to put students in a position where we minimize those struggles. Is we're going to help you identify classes and situations where you're not going to struggle as much as a normal student might because of the experience we have. I think one of the sports that I think can have the biggest challenges are our soccer teams and the volleyball team, which I work with, because they start playing those games and traveling. And, you know, if you're a freshman especially, you're like, that's your introduction to colleges. I'm already playing against these other big-time schools in non-conference season. And then once you're a couple of weeks in, now we're going to dump 15 credits or 12 credits or whatever it is on top of you're already. And so that can be overwhelming. So we do things like sign students up for maybe just a couple more credits than they need so that they can scout out that first week. What class is a real bugger, really hard to get through? And then we can cut it loose and they don't have to pick up something else on top of that. So we really exercise strategies like that to help people who would have a difficult transition have an easier time.
Do you have generic strategies just for a student athlete in how you juggle being on the road maybe 50% of the time? You're missing maybe 50% of your classes, if not more. How you juggle that and you keep on top of things while on the road while also focusing on the athletic side of things?
I think some of the general strategies we do in those touch points with me, those meetings that they have, is to check on your grades regularly and just have your, you know, not just have your finger on the pulse, but know and understand these things. So when I meet with students, you know, especially freshmen, but transfers too, I ask every one of them every time, show me what your grades are. And that's going to open a honest conversation based on what we're seeing there. And most of the time it's, man, you're doing great. But then I also want to go through and for the whole week, I want to know what's coming for that week. Are you have a test? Do you have a test 2 weeks from now? Do you have a paper that you're supposed to be working on? You know, these discussion posts and these online classes, do you have to do a post, you know, earlier? Can you do it all on the day that it's due? And so we really kind of get into the nitty gritty with a fine tooth comb through all these classes. And that helps students to be successful. And I think that when they show they're successful, they probably take some of those strategies we talk about weekly out on their own.
Do you find most professors here to be understanding of the situation that, hey, student-athletes are going to be traveling? They may not be in class a lot of the time. Do you find that they are understanding and just helping the student-athlete get through a course?
Yeah, I got to give props to the vast majority of professors on our campus are really accommodating, really swell people. I feel like I could give some real shout-outs to some people like, you know, Sean McCarthy and Stacey Mervis Jossert, some of these instructors who Al Scutoni, they do a really good job of trying. They understand that these student athletes are here at Milwaukee to be athletes. They could go get a business degree or communication degree from a lot of other places. It's their sport that brought them here, and there's a contractual obligation for them to perform a duty for the university. And so I'm really grateful to, it is the vast majority of professors on our campus. And even when we run into one or two who don't, it's not because they're trying to be difficult. I think they genuinely just don't understand what it's like to be a student athlete. And I was there. I didn't know what it was like. But being in the chair across from them for so many years, I feel like it helps me to convey that message to the professors who maybe it is a little more challenging at times.
It says on your online bio that you also monitor student, you know, athletes regarding NCAA rules for satisfactory progress towards degree completion requirements. I guess, real generically, what are maybe some of the basic requirements to be academically eligible, and have they changed a great deal over the last number of years?
Those requirements haven't changed a ton. That's kind of, for all the things that have changed in college, I feel really fortunate that that's one of the things that has stayed the same. You know, if you're a freshman, you have to finish 24 credits, which is basically like 20% of your degree. If you finish with your second year, it's 40%. Third year of college, you better be done with 60%. Fourth year, it has to be 80%. Basically, the NCAA wants you to stay on track. So after 5 years, you got your degree. I think where that gets tricky in the landscape of college athletics is especially with the free-for-all of transferring. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But, you know, we have student athletes who joined us this year. I can think of three off the top of my head who this is the beginning of their fifth year of college. So when they walk through our door, whatever major they are, they got to be 80% done. And if you've been other places, that is a real challenge. And I feel like that's where I can bring value to our programs, is being here and knowing our academic programs. I can find ways for our guys and girls to hit those eligibility markers, but still get them to where they want to be with their programs.
Also saw, too, and I want you to touch briefly on the fact that under your umbrella, you also have, you know, helped create career and professional development events, you know, within the department. On top of the fact that I saw that you organize and instruct the EdSci 101 course. I mean, so you're kind of a jack of all trades, are you not?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. We pack a lot in, and I got to give props to my colleagues Gabby and Claire, because I feel like we all do a lot of the same things. And if I'm ever floundering, I've got two great colleagues who will pick me up. It's part of the reason I like being here. But yeah, we do things like, you know, Claire helps to put on, along with others in our department, an alumni networking night every November. Every spring semester, I get with some fine folks from Northwestern Mutual North Shore. Alex Marchand and his team have supported a elevator pitch competition that our student athletes really get a lot out of, those who participate. It's a really great event. The EdSci class that we teach every fall is just to make sure all of our freshman student athletes from every sport are getting in front of people from inside and outside athletics who can help them along the way. So they'll meet our compliance director, they'll meet our nutritionist, and they'll meet, Kathy Litzau, our senior associate athletics director, but they'll also meet our student success center on campus who, you know, I'm really grateful for those folks. They make sure our student athletes get tutors when they need tutors, because we're not like a Big Ten school where they've got in-house tutors. But I firmly contend the tutoring our student athletes can get from our campus student success center is next to nothing in terms of quality. It's awesome. It's just fantastic. So,
and I'm guessing covering all these topics, technology, since you took over at Milwaukee in 2015, has probably enhanced the student athletes' experience and the ability to juggle everything.
Yeah, I mean, technology has changed just the sheer number of online classes, the way students can get things done. You know, AI is a big thing that's just, we're all figuring out too. So technology has changed, but I think that's a real asset to student athletes here at Milwaukee, is Milwaukee is friendly to all kinds of students, whether you want to be all in person, all online, some hybrid, some night. And so the online classes has really been a godsend, especially for a Northern baseball team. I'll circle back to that example. You know, we got to be on the road for 7 straight weeks. There's no home games until the end of March. So for some of our students to be able to take classes like that are totally online all the time, it's just a huge weight off their shoulders that they're not missing content.
Overall, how rewarding is it to see a number of athletic programs annually, semester after semester, record that team GPA above 3?
It's really rewarding, but I got to give a lot of credit to the coaches, because I think that's one of the things that I enjoy about being here. Is that our coaches bring in just really high caliber student athletes. You know, Kyle Recklitz has just been bringing in rock stars every single day that I've, you know, been here. I really appreciate the perspective that Bart Lundy brings. Susie Johnson and Lindsay Vandenberg have always just been rock star students. And, you know, between Scotty and Sean and Corey and Paco, like it with the baseball team, it's great student athletes, but it is really rewarding. I feel like at the end of the day, when you see that team GPA and just be like, you know, I would have been proud to get that as an academic stud. And we're doing that as a team. And I know that even the students who are getting a 2.5 GPA, you know, that might not be a report card they want to put on the fridge. But I'm darn proud of them, because I know for a fact, meeting with these guys who need the help, they work their tails off for that. And that's all you can ask for at the end of the day.
To wrap it up for you, what do you consider the best aspect of your job?
The best aspect is the people in general, just getting to work with these incredible humans that the coaches recruit. You know, they bring joy and fulfillment to my day. But then I'm also surrounded by people who are great to be around in this department. You know, it's a joy to know that, you know, I can have a conversation with Amanda Braun any day, and I can walk into Bart Lundy's office and I'm welcomed. You know, this is a great place to be. And so it really comes down to the people. And I tell people all the time, if I won that Powerball that's up to whatever, $1.6 billion, I'd probably blow through all my vacation days real quick, because I like to travel. But in terms of like what fills your cup, this does it. And I think that I'd do all that vacation, but then I'd come right back here and do the same thing, because I enjoy coming to work every day.
Quick side note, if you can go back in time, play any sport, what sport?
Whoa. Jeez.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No, I didn't. I mean, I love football, but I don't think I would have did that. You know, I wish I could play the sports that I work with, honestly. But at the end of the day, Matt, I am Charlie up in our weight room has turned me into a bona fide runner. So out of all of that, I could maybe do distance running.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, I appreciate the time. Thanks for all you do for our student-athletes, and thanks for all you do for this athletic department.
You betcha. It's my pleasure to do this, Matt. Thanks for your time.
And thanks for joining us for this edition of the Pounce Cast.